Today marks 2 years since the Columbine High School shooting in Colorado. Yesterday, families of the victims accepted a $2.5 million settlement from the parents of the killers and the men who bought them a gun. In many schools where shootings have occurred, students were believed to have lashed out after being bullied by classmates. Around the country, parents, teachers, counselors, and public officials continue to search for ways to prevent more shootings. Commentator B.B. Moore Campbell says they could learn from the civil rights movement.
In the wake of recent school shootouts in California, school administrators are moving toward adopting a policy of zero-tolerance bullying. It was alleged bullying, you will recall, that drove ninth grader Andy Williams of Santee to such despair that he was moved to kill. But if the punishment for bullying is suspension or even expulsion, the result will be recycled bullies. Maybe the focus should be on the victims, those lonely outsiders who always seem to attract persecution. Perhaps we should look to historical targets for some answers. No high school students were ever bullied as much as the Little Rock Nine, the black students who integrated Central High School in Little Rock, Arkansas. They were collectively and individually jeered at, hit, punched, not only by students, but by the parents of the bullies as well. It took the National Guard to protect them, but they were strong in the face of severe physical and emotional assault, mainly because Daisy Bates, their NAACP sponsor, trained them how to face overt hostility, taught them to expect it and to stick together. This is not to say that there were no lingering psychological wounds among them, and one of the nine did lash out, but most of them survived and have led productive lives. In fact, African Americans and other minorities have much to teach about bullying, mostly about how to toughen up the psyche for the long endurance test. Playing the dozens is a game of insults and comebacks that's been around the black community forever. Players ridiculed each other's mothers, each one trying to top the other. The object is not to cry, to save face, to be cool. It's a sad game, really, but it does teach a lesson. In a world where anyone can step on you, only the strong survive. A lot of people have a "how I survived the school bully" story. For many of us, it's a rite of passage. Collectively, we avoided getting our butts kicked by bigger kids by hiding, running, prevailing upon older siblings to come to our defense, handing over our lunch money, outwitting our adversaries, and sometimes standing and fighting. Mostly, we didn't tell our parents and teachers. How we healed the psychic wounds of being emotionally battered with name-calling and put-downs varied. Some of us still bear scars. But often below the scars are our muscles. Weeding out the bullies may sound good, but it's not practical. Who is going to tell on Big Bertha? Raise your hand. It will be better to get students to identify the fragile outsiders who are more likely to be picked on, to form an environment where the strong are protecting the weak. Perhaps schools can intellectualize the dozens by creating programs that take the potential victims aside and show them how to develop resiliency and the kind of tough skin that prevents emotional damage. Teach kids the body language of confidence so that they don't get targeted in the first place. Show them how to channel their anger and despair into creative outlets. Who knows, maybe they will create some new blues. If all else fails, teach them that they aren't alone, that a lot of great people get picked on, and it's nothing to be ashamed of, that nonviolence is still the best way to overcome.
The comments of B.B. Moore Campbell. Her latest novel, What You Owe Me, will be published in August.